Over the weekend, we know the FDIC had been talking to potential suitors. They've been trying to sell this thing for the past 2 weeks. Finally, they have accepted a bid.
Silicon Valley Bank has been purchased.
Silicon Valley Bank finally is sold.
The new owner is Raleigh, North Carolina-based First Citizens Bank.
They're acquiring all of the loans for the bank and the deposits. The numbers coming in here, $119 billion worth of deposits as of March 10th. They also had $167 billion of total assets.
According to the feds, all 17 branches of Silicon Valley Bank will reopen as First Citizens outlets. The regulator says the purchase price was $72 billion, discounted by about $16.5 billion. First Citizens has been one of the biggest buyers of troubled lenders lately.
Now officials are really focusing on other banks like First Republic Bank.
Silicon Valley Bank had about $167 billion in assets. First Citizens only bought part of that. $90 billion of it, it's still with the FDIC.
Really, it's a significant milestone, but by no means the end of this crisis.
Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. As you've just seen, some of the assets and liabilities of Silicon Valley Bank have now been acquired by First Citizens Bank. So in today's video, I'm going to look into the details of that transaction. We'll look at exactly what they've bought, what they've paid for it, and what residual liabilities have been left with the FDIC. We'll talk about the loss sharing agreement that's been put in place between First Citizens Bank and the FDIC. We'll talk about the equity appreciation rights that have been given over to the FDIC. And then we'll go on to talk about the implications of this transaction for the wider market. And I'll give you my summary as to what I think is likely to happen in the banking sector over the next 3 to 6 months. Because this isn't the end of this crisis. Just because somebody has bought the assets of Silicon Valley Bank, they've cherry-picked all of the good stuff, doesn't mean that the banking sector is out of the woods and that there are no more potential casualties to come. This is the official press release issued by the FDIC relating to the sale of the deposits and loans of Silicon Valley Bank. It states the Federal Deposit Insurance Company entered into a purchase and assumption agreement for all deposits and loans of Silicon Valley Bridge Bank by First Citizens Bank and Trust Company, Raleigh, North Carolina. The 17 former branches of Silicon Valley Bridge Bank will open as First Citizens Bank and Trust Company on Monday the 27th of March. Customers of Silicon Valley Bridge Bank should continue to use their current branch until they receive notice from First Citizens Bank and Trust Company that systems conversions have been completed to allow full service banking at all of its other branch locations. Depositors of Silicon Valley Bridge Bank will automatically become depositors of First Citizens Bank. All deposits assumed by First Citizens will continue to be insured by the FDIC up to the insurance limit. As of the 10th of March, Silicon Valley Bridge Bank had approximately $167 billion in total assets and about $119 billion in total deposits. Today's transaction included the purchase of about $72 billion of Silicon Valley Bridge Bank's assets at a discount of $16.5 billion. Approximately $90 billion in securities and other assets will remain in the receivership for disposition by the FDIC. In addition, the FDIC received equity appreciation rights in First Citizens Bank share in common stock with a potential value of up to $500 million. The FDIC and First Citizens Bank entered into a loss share transaction on the commercial loans it purchased from the former Silicon Valley Bridge Bank. The FDIC as receiver and First Citizens Bank will share in the losses and potential recoveries on the loans covered by the loss share agreement. The loss share transaction is projected to maximize recoveries on the assets by keeping them in the private sector. The transaction is also expected to minimize disruptions for loan customers. In addition, First Citizens Bank Company will assume all loan-related qualified financial contracts. The FDIC estimates the cost of the failure of Silicon Valley Bank to its deposit insurance fund to be approximately $20 billion. The exact cost will be determined when the FDIC terminates the receivership. The FDIC created Silicon Valley Bridge Bank following the closure of Silicon Valley Bank by the California Department of Financial Protection and Innovation. All of the deposits, both insured and uninsured, and substantially all assets of the qualified financial contracts of Silicon Valley Bank were transferred to the Bridge Bank. The purpose of establishing the Silicon Valley Bridge Bank was to allow time for the FDIC to stabilize the institution and market the franchise. So who is First Citizens Bank? Well, First Citizens Bank was founded in 1898 and is headquartered in Raleigh, North Carolina. and the company's website states that it's the largest family-controlled bank in the United States, which provides a unique legacy of strength, stability, and long-term thinking that has spanned generations. As at the end of December 2022, the bank had total assets of over $109 billion, total deposits of more than $89 billion, and was ranked as one of the top 20 banks in the USA. It really depends on what metric you look at, and obviously you need to take out banks such as Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank, both of which have collapsed. But roughly speaking, it's around the 15th or the 16th largest bank in the US, and has more than 10,000 employees. First Citizens Bank is highly acquisitive, and over the last 10 years has purchased 15 US-based banks. So let's firstly look at the terms of the deal that have been agreed between the FDIC and First Citizens. And one of the key issues here, I think, is the loss of value that's been seen at Silicon Valley Bank. As at the 31st of December, Silicon Valley Bank had $212 billion of assets, $74 billion of loans, and $342 billion of client deposits. As you've just seen from the press release, on the 10th of March, which is 2.5 months after the 31st of December, the total assets of the bank were $167 billion, which represents a fall of $45 billion in around 10 weeks. And the total deposits were $119 billion. So that represents a fall of $223 billion in 10 weeks. So this is basically the run on the accounts that caused the problems at SVB and led to its failure. At the beginning of March, customers started to get spooked, and a lot of the venture capital firms whose investee companies had accounts with SVB instructed those companies to move their deposits out of the bank. And the sheer volume of demand for transfer of funds led to the bank having to sell some of its long-term assets, the bonds that it had been investing into over the course of the last few years. All of those bonds were out of the money as a result of the fact that interest rates had risen so dramatically in the USA and put the bond prices below par, and therefore SVB booked a loss of $1.8 billion on the sale of those bonds, which it needed to do to get the cash to give to all of the customers. And that further fueled the panic because everybody saw that the bank was making losses and the rumors were that it was about to collapse, and so everybody wanted out. And of course, we've been talking about this run on the assets over the last few weeks, but it's really interesting to actually put a figure on that. And $223 billion, which represents around two-thirds of all of the deposits that Silicon Valley Bank was holding at the end of December, were moved out in the space of 10 weeks. And actually, when you look at the details, most of that money was moved out within the last 2 weeks. So that is a genuine run. So in terms of the deal itself, First Citizens Bank have paid $55 billion for $72 billion worth of assets. So that represents a discount of $16.5 billion, or around 23%. And this looks like a good deal for First Citizens Bank, because they've cherry-picked what assets that they want. They've left behind around $90 billion worth of assets that clearly they didn't have any interest in taking on. So they picked the best assets at a bargain price. Now, in addition to the cash transaction, First Citizens Bank have also given the FDIC equity rights in its stock, which could be worth up to $500 million. And the terms of this transaction were referred to as equity appreciation rights in the press release. And equity appreciation rights are something that are often given to employees to try to retain them. So basically what it says is if the share price of that institution rises, then you will benefit from that increase in the price. So basically what the FDIC has said here is that as part of this deal, if this results in an increase in First Citizens' share price, then the FDIC should get some benefit from that. Now, the exact details of this part of the deal haven't been released, so we don't know what the time frame is or what the parameters are in terms of the stock price itself. But what we do know is the FDIC could benefit up to $500 million, which when you take it in the context of the $16.5 billion discount that has been agreed for the $72 billion worth of assets, is relatively small beer. It could potentially end up reducing the discount that's been agreed to $16 billion, but overall, this looks like a very good deal from First Citizens Bank point of view. However, the only caveat on that is that there is a loss-sharing agreement in place. Now, the full details of the loss-sharing agreement haven't actually been released, but basically what the FDIC has done here is that it's given a lot of the loans over to First Citizens Bank because the FDIC doesn't want to be running that loan book. It's not set up to run as a bank itself. The FDIC wants those loans to be managed by a company that has all of the infrastructure in place to be able to do that. And in order to incentivize First Citizens Bank to take these loans off its hands, the FDIC has had to agree that it will share some of the loss of those loans. Now, we don't have any of the details on that, but this is a very similar arrangement to what we saw with the Credit Suisse transaction. In Switzerland, when Credit Suisse was about to collapse, the Swiss authorities persuaded UBS to step in and buy the bank. And by doing that, obviously UBS was taking on all of the liabilities that Credit Suisse had built up, including its loan book. And in order to incentivize UBS to do that, the Swiss authorities have given a guarantee that it will cover a percentage of any future losses. So that's exactly what we're seeing here with FDIC and First Citizens Bank. So this, again, looks like a good deal from First Citizens' point of view, because even if they make a loss from the loans in the portfolio that they've taken on, the FDIC will cover a percentage of that. And I think one of the really interesting parts of this deal is that First Citizens Bank haven't taken on all of the assets. The FDIC has retained $90 billion of assets. And you may be asking, why have they done that? Why didn't they just get rid of all of it? Well, the reason for that is that some of these assets will be trading at a significant discount. If you've been following this story, you'll know that Silicon Valley Bank invested a lot of its customer deposits over the course of the COVID pandemic into US Treasury bonds. And the problem with that is that during that period, interest rates were at an all-time low. So the yield on those bonds is very low. And as we've seen interest rates rise dramatically over the last 12 months, the market value of those bonds has fallen significantly. And as I mentioned earlier in the video, this was one of the problems that Silicon Valley Bank encountered when it had a run on its accounts, because the only assets it had that it could cash in to generate the cash to give to the customers were these bonds that were out of the money. And so as they started to sell those bonds in the market, they booked losses, and that made the position untenable. And because the majority of these bonds are long dated, so they all have maturity dates either 10, 20 or 30 years in the future, they will be significantly out of the money. So the market value that First Citizens Bank would be prepared to pay to take all of these assets off the FDIC's hands would mean a significant loss. So clearly the FDIC has taken a decision that it's better to hold those assets over the long term, wait for maturity and receive the full amount of the principal on those bonds, and therefore avoid booking any losses. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video firstly because we'd been following the Silicon Valley Bank story. This was really the bank that triggered the latest crisis in the world of finance. The failure of Silvergate Bank a couple of days before Silicon Valley Bank got into crisis was really seen as an anomaly. Everybody was looking at that as being crypto-related and not something that was going to affect mainstream banking. But Silicon Valley Bank was banking all of the latest, greatest tech companies. This was a hero bank for the venture capital community. So when that bank got into difficulty, that really sent alarm bells ringing all around the world that we could be looking at something that wasn't crypto related, but was more related to the general finance markets. Now, to give them their due, the FDIC did move very swiftly. And after a major fall in the Silicon Valley Bank share price, they stepped in and took control of the assets and liabilities and moved everything into this bridge bank. And within the space of 2 weeks, they've managed to agree a deal with First Citizens Bank that gets the majority of those assets and liabilities off their books and back onto the high street. So when you look at it at face value, this looks like a good transaction. However, when you look at the details, obviously there has been a huge erosion of value here. The FDIC has stated that the likely cost is going to be $20 billion. However, that is an estimate, and we won't know what the real cost is until all of the loans and liabilities have played their way out. What we do know is that the assets that have been sold to First Citizen have been sold at a discount of $16.5 billion. So clearly that gives you a big percentage of the $20 billion that the FDIC is estimating as the total loss. So what they're saying is that we think there's a possibility that we could lose another $3.5 billion. But realistically, nobody really knows what the risk is at sitting in that portfolio. So is this now a case of all's well that ends well, that we can put this matter to bed and move on and talk about something else? Well, unfortunately not, because the reason that Silicon Valley Bank failed was that there was a loss of confidence in that bank. Customers became concerned that the bank didn't have enough cash liquidity to be able to satisfy customer withdrawals, and that caused a run on the bank. And those concerns and fears are continuing to spread all around the world. Anybody that's got a large amount of cash sitting with a small financial institution, and let's face it, there are a lot of really small players that have entered the market over the course of the last 5 to 10 years. We've seen an explosion in digital banking. Fintech has been one of the big growth sectors. Everybody wants to get into fintech. It's seen as being the next great thing, and there are a myriad of options that you can place your money on deposit with. But as we've seen highlighted through the failure of companies like Silicon Valley Bank and Credit Suisse, customers are now worried about where their money is sitting, and money is moving rapidly away from the smaller end of the market to the larger, more established players. Now, I've talked about this at length in other videos, and we've identified the fact that there are small banks that are potentially teetering on the brink right now. And the authorities and senior figures in the world of banking are trying to calm everybody down to say, relax, leave your money where it is, and it will all be fine. But what you don't want to do is be the last guy who hears about a run on your bank, because then it's too late. If you get to the point that Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank got to, it's too late because the authorities have already stepped in, and then you as a customer are then reliant on the authorities doing the right thing and saving everybody's deposits. If they don't do that, that's when your capital could be at risk. And you may be thinking, well, that's fine because the authorities will always save us. But unfortunately, if we look back in history, what happened in 2008 is very similar to what's happening today. As I mentioned before, Bear Stearns was the biggest financial institution that got itself into difficulty first. And that was in March 2008. And that bank was actually saved through a bargain basement deal that was agreed with JP Morgan. JP Morgan took it on. However, as things started to get worse, banks decided that they didn't want to bail out other banks. And when Lehman Brothers got itself into difficulty in September 2008, everybody stood back and waited for the authorities to step in and save it. However, that didn't happen. Lehman Brothers went bust, and that triggered the whole global financial crisis. And there is a risk that that could happen again. What we're seeing at the moment is very similar to what happened at the start of the global financial crisis. So Silicon Valley Bank's assets have been sold to First Citizens, Credit Suisse was bailed out by UBS. So these are similar things that happened back in 2008. But if we suddenly see an avalanche of financial institutions and banks getting into major liquidity crises, the authorities may decide to step back and say, actually, this is a capitalist society. These institutions need to be profitable to survive. And if they're not profitable, then maybe they shouldn't survive. And if that happens, then there is a genuine possibility that we could see some financial institutions failing. And if that happens, that could trigger another global financial crisis. So hopefully you've enjoyed today's episode. You found it useful, informative, and thought-provoking. If you've liked what I've said, then please give me a thumbs up. And thank you for watching this video all the way through to the end. And as always, here's something to put a smile on your face.